What is the significance of each lightning move made in the European war? What are the aims of the opposing high commands? For comments on developments, from the viewpoint of the military men, we present at this time General Stephen Fuqua, United States Army retired, former Army attaché in several European capitals, U.S. Army observer of the Civil War in Spain, and noted military observer for Newsweek. General Fuqua, in connection with the use of a ray by the Germans, we have a question. What have you to say with reference to this new weapon?
Nothing specific, except that I know that all the great powers have experimented with beams that could be used to disable men or paralyze motors. The effectiveness of a heat ray has been demonstrated in this country at short ranges. However, the Germans made claim some several years ago that they had perfected a ray that is operative under certain conditions up to several miles, but that its effectiveness for war usages at that time had not been proven. In view of this fact, I was not surprised to hear of the reported nerve gas, and we may expect something more on the subject as the war progresses.
The news this evening mentions the German spearhead being at Sedan. Was not this town the furthest advance of our American troops during the World War?
Yes, our 1st Division, of which I was privileged to be Chief of Staff, reached the hills just south of Sedan, and I believe this point was what might be called the high water mark of the American advance in France. Just about a year ago, I visited this particular scene in order to inspect our division monument, which stands on a hill overlooking the little town, a suburb of Sedan.
What importance do you attach to the German drive at this point?
Although the news is not definitely clear, it would seem that the German drive is in two columns, one penetrating France in the Sedan-Mézières sector, while the other appears to be directed on Montmédy, both having, if continued, the city of Reims as their first objective.
Would you say that this advance threatens Paris?
Yes. Reims is not more than 60 miles from Sedan and approximately 100 to Paris. But to reach these cities, the Maginot Line must be broken.
Would you say that this move seems to you to be a main or a supporting drive?
Of course, it is difficult at the moment to analyze the German plan of maneuver in this sector. But sufficient evidence is available to say that these moves in the Sedan area are definitely related with the Liège column pointed at Namur, and the column directed on Brussels, which the Germans claim has reached the Louvain area.
Does this crossing of the French frontier mean a penetration of the Maginot Line?
No, but it does mean that the Germans are on the edge of the defensive area of the so-called Maginot Line, which of course is not a line after all, but a fortified area.
I see. Well, General, does it strike you that the German advance on this particular front was in the nature of a surprise to the French?
No, because the recent bombings in the Reims sector was a strong indication of an offensive in this area. In fact, watching the air raids against civil communities, I found very helpful in Spain in estimating the direction of a coming offensive. So having profited by this experience, I pin on my local map reports in Holland, Belgium, and France of German raids, and it is most astounding how these air attacks indicated the several German lines of advance.
Did you find this method of foreseeing the direction of the German drives accurate in the case of Holland?
Yes, I pinned on my map when the Germans crossed the Holland frontier and wrote a story that the German drive was directed westward to the coast between the Rhine and its tributaries to the north and the Albert Canal to the south. At that time, it was easily discernible that the German plan was to cut Holland in two parts, a movement which, from the news of yesterday, was successfully completed.
A little question on a different line, General. Do you feel that the use of parachute troops on the large scale employed in Holland is a proof that this type of troop could be used in gaining a foothold in England?
No, not necessarily so, as there were many favorable factors in the Holland invasion which made possible the employment of the parachutists. However, Whether these new soldiers of the air are a threat to England is debatable. But it is not debatable that their use made a great impression in Britain, and in all probability will cause a great number of British troops to be kept for defense of the home firesides rather than be sent over the sea on expeditionary forces to Holland, Belgium, and France.
Well, in other words, then, you believe that the use of the parachute in Holland may have a direct bearing on the sending in the future of English troops to the continent?
Yes, I do. And besides, the threat involved there is also the scare, which the Germans are using as successfully as they are their marvelous employment of the propaganda factor. I might say that the scare factor was employed on a large scale and in a most systematic and organized way in connection with the German advance of their small motorized units in Norway. The success of these movements were due to, in a great extent, through the factors of scare and fear, utilized by making local officials responsible for the safety of the German lines of communication and supply. This system, of course, obviated the necessity for diminishing the strength of their commands by dropping off small units in the towns to protect their rear.
General Fouquet, do you believe that the defense of Holland is ended?
Yes, the news this evening seems to be convincing that the Dutch army has ceased resistance to the invader. However, I find no reference to the reported British units, which are supposed to have landed on one of the southwestern coastal islands near Miltenberg. Of course, there's always a doubt as to whether or not the British did succeed in landing in Holland any appreciable number of troops.
Where does it appear to you that the Allies are battling the Germans on a large scale?
It is difficult at the moment to deal in numbers and thus be able to estimate the magnitude of the struggle in which the Nazis and the Allies are now engaged. However, it is not difficult, with the news now at hand, to see that the battlefront extends from the Meuse River within the French border northward, including the Liège sector and the area east of Louvain, a frontage of approximately 100 miles.
Doesn't it strike you that there is a dearth of news on the operations of the Allies in their efforts to stop the German columns?
Yes, this is true, and in part may be due to censorship. But in all probability, this absence of news may be attributed to the fact that the Allies have taken up a defensive position somewhere on the line Louvain-Charleroi, southward to the Meuse, from which position they purpose launching an attack when conditions warrant such movement. However, this is purely speculative and is presented only as a course of action where several seem open to the Allies at this time.
General, there's one question that seems to be on the mind of all of us. Do you think the German employment of air service in the Norwegian campaign, with its reported successes, and having in mind the Chamberlain statement, in effect, that it was the German air power that prevented British guns from landing on Norwegian shores, do you think this supports the claim of the superiority of air power over sea power?
My answer to this question is no, for the reason that the Norwegian campaign furnished no true answer to this all-controversial question, air power versus sea power. However, I might answer this question by saying that the issue between sea and aircraft is not that one can damage or destroy individual units of the other, but whether or not either can prevent the other in the fulfillment of its mission. And in this connection, we might note that German air power is a mighty force over the present battle areas from Holland to Luxembourg. And we may also note that the British fleet continues to control the sea lanes and has in turn run the German merchant ship from the seven seas and forced the German Navy to secure safety in its own home harbors.
Well, then, if I understand your viewpoint, each of these weapons has a distinctive field of action?
Yes, that is true. One must remember that battleships and cruisers are built primarily for sea fighting and control of sea lanes. And when they approach a hostile shore, they must expect to meet losses from coast guns and coastal-based aircraft. When sea craft are taken by surprise and overpowered in numbers by aircraft, it is natural that the ship should succumb to the inexorable principle of fire superiority. Just as on many battlefields, the artillery gun has had to give way to the rifleman when it was flanked and hemmed in on all sides.
During your experience throughout the Civil War in Spain, were there any battleships or cruisers destroyed by aircraft?
In answer to this question, I can really speak with authority. There was no naval vessel at sea on either side in the Spanish Civil War struck by a bomb from the air. However, there were claims that both the Baleares and the España were hit by bombs, but later information proved conclusively that the Baleares was struck by a torpedo and the España by a mine.
General, I'd like to ask you if you believe that Hitler has finally shaken the dice from the cup into one throw, win or lose.
Not at all. Having gained the Dutch coast, the Germans could go on the defensive if halted in Belgium, and still will have won this campaign. Again, should this drive through Belgium not be successful, Hitler holds the initiative for launching an attack on some other part of the French front.
General, about how large are the Low Countries, say, for example, compared with New York State?
There is not a great deal of difference between the areas of Holland and Belgium. Belgium is larger by about 1,000 square miles. The two countries taken together are about one half the area of New York State.
General, just one more question. As you are a ground soldier, I expect you'll be slightly biased in the answer to the question I'm going to ask you, but still, I'd like you to express an opinion on the subject of whether this war will be won in the air, on the sea, or on land.
Although sea and air power will contribute to the success of one side or the other in this war, rest assured that victory will come only through the gaining of some piece of ground which lies between the two great contending field armies. In other words, when the great field army of one side or the other is destroyed, the air and sea power of the vanquished will go down in defeat with the ground troops.
Thank you, General Fuqua. You have heard Major General Stephen O. Fuqua, United States Army retired and noted military observer and analyst for Newsweek, in an interview on reports of military action in the European War. General Fuqua was presented by the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.
And now for the music of Bud Freeman and his orchestra, we take you to Chicago.